The August sun washed over each stone evenly as our earth revolved and rotated, creating a uniquely perceptive sunset silhouetting the Eiffel Tower. Middle-aged Indian amateur entrepreneurs, wearing striped polo shirts and cargo shorts, scurried across the concrete stairwell leading to the Sacra Colera Basilica. They know Americans will buy 3-euro beers when it's sunny and 7-euro umbrellas when it's not. They stay here forever. Our sky became more saturated with red wavelengths as every minute passed. Hordes of tourists realized the most generically beautiful Kodak picture must be taken just as the sun provided a blood-orange backdrop for a certain structure created by Gustave Eiffel. Chaos followed their intense apprehension. These travelers spent thousands of dollars and given up even more valuable vacation days to be on top of this hill at sunset. They were not about to miss this perfect shot. Human waves flowed against gravity like salmon during mating season. Every motive was fixed upon the perfect photograph, with little regard for personal space or natural boundaries. I told my sister that she had the best chance of getting the perfect picture because she was the smallest and could squeeze past all the fat people. I handed her our pink digital camera and said, "It's all up to you now." We locked eyes and nodded to each other just as she bolted up the stairwell. This was the last time I would see my sister, for like 15 minutes. My grandpap, Lars, was the first to realize Mari was no longer with us. Our party started searching and yelling frantically. She had no map or cell phone with service. Could this little Mari be lost in Paris forever? Alas, I spotted my absent-minded sister at the bottom of the long staircase, being mesmerized by a skinny African French peddler wearing baggy slacks. The man proceeded to construct a beautiful handmade bracelet on her wrist. She stood there smiling cheekily as the framework for a remarkable heist was composed. From my vantage point atop the stairs, I noticed something peculiar. Another man, wearing similar attire, was pacing about just meters behind my sister. His eyes were fixed upon the events concerning the bracelet, but more specifically, the purse dangling from my sister's shoulder. It was a trap. One man effectively produces the distraction, and the other tentatively pilfers a prize. In the meantime, Lars had made his way down the steps in his search for Mari. I raced to her rescue just in time to hear Lars yell, "Get away from my granddaughter!" as he barreled through the unusual congregation, breaking the focus of both the bracelet maker and the thief, soiling their operation. Lars was the hero once again, and it appeared we had escaped the clutches of these tricky French burglars, until one of them decided to revolt. A tight fist pressed into my grandpap's back, followed by an angered statement, "Hey, don't push me!" Lars turned around and said, "What? You can't push me just because you're from America," declared the African man. By this time, our exchange of angry accented statements had gathered attention. A crowd of immigrant peddlers and tinkers collected behind the bracelet maker, while my dad and I stood beside Lars, ready to fight. Contentious vibes were rising as both leaders bickered in broken attempts to insult each other's nationalities. After seeing the fire in my eyes, the size of my dad, and the cane in Lars's hand, the glorified vendors virtually had no choice but to submit to our American prowess. They indignantly returned to their posts as we smiled and rejoiced with relief. America had won another war without even swinging a fist. As we turned to leave the scene triumphant, bracelet maker hollered, "American Hitler!" Choosing to disregard this obscure comment, we walk away into the Parisian sunset, confused and victorious. The end.